Do any of you wonder that they might have picked those two lessons that were read before to partner with this to kind of counterbalance the horror of this wedding banquet? A wedding banquet is supposed to be a good thing, right? Right? It's supposed to be festive and joyous, and yet here we have destruction and murder. Very exciting. My wedding did not go that way. I hope none of yours did, or you've never been to a wedding like that. I do remember, though, that when Mark and I were preparing to get married, we did have quite a bit of struggle with the invite list. Yep. Our invite list, I have worried ever since then that it might be discovered by people on that list, and they might see it. And I worry about that because, it's an Excel spreadsheet. Yep. And in the Excel spreadsheet, there are two columns, one that has M, C, or B. That is Mark, Christine, or both, because we care very much about equality. And so it had to have balance in it. And then there's another column that has a number from 1 to 5. 1 being like, this person absolutely has to be there. No discussion, has to be. 5 being like, oh, it'd be nice if they were there. It's okay if they can't come. And then everywhere in between, including when we were finally getting down to, okay, we can only have this number of people, we've got to figure it out. We had like 2.6 versus 2.7 to figure out where to draw the line. And so you can see why I live in fear that people might find that that spreadsheet and figure out where they line up. Do you find the wedding banquet in today's reading realistic? I have to say that when it was being read on Thursday to record for tomorrow's festival worship service, the person who was reading was Jan Williams, and you could almost tell that she was like coming to grips with what the lesson was saying while she was reading it. Like, is this really what's in Scripture? What's in the parable of Jesus? Of course, this parable, like many of the others, is hyperbole. It's an exaggeration. Certainly, there are people who make light of an invitation to a wedding, but this is a royal wedding. This is the kind of wedding that no one says no to. And yet, they say no. Not only do they say no, but they come up with all the excuses why they can't do it. And then there are people who actually respond to the invitation by killing the messengers. You think, how could people do that? That's horrible. And then the king, in response, is so enraged that he goes and destroys the property of those who have killed his servants and then kills those murderers as well. Presumably, those people are his subjects. And that city burned down is his own. Even among the newly invited guests, where we could cling to some hope, even there is one who is guilty of taking the invitation lightly and not living fully into the occasion by not wearing the wedding robe. He is cast out of the wedding into the outer darkness. Why is Jesus telling this parable? What good is to come from this parable? What lesson were the people in Matthew's community supposed to hear from it? This harsh version of the parable, which is different from the version that Luke's community heard. Well, first you have to know that Matthew's community was in great turmoil. What is the big deal about these people who did not accept the invitation and killed the messengers? Well, it is a reference, of course, to those who came prophesying what God would do among God's people, and then they killed the prophets. Right? You all know this story. They killed the prophets because they spoke truth that people did not want to hear. And then, of course, they are invited to the Son's wedding banquet. Who is the Son? Well, the Son is Jesus, right? And they did not respect Jesus, they did not honor Jesus, and so they are destroyed. Now, that might sound harsh, it might not it might not sound like the loving Jesus we have grown accustomed to, and yet for Matthew's community that has seen such turmoil, they need to know that they are on the right side, and that the people who have brought such pain and destruction and fear to their community will not be a part of the final wedding banquet. They need to hear that promise that they are a part of something good, and those who have hurt them will not be there. And then why is this poor fellow who shows up without the right clothes on, why is he cast out into the inner darkness? Well, for them it is so important that those who come to be a part of this community, having seen such destruction, having seen the fall of Jerusalem in their lifetimes, it's incredibly important to know that if someone comes among them and comes in peace and yet becomes a spy, does not fully live into the community that they have been called to, then they too will not be a part of the promise. This is a high expectations community, and they have put everything on the line to be in this community. Do not remove yourself from the party, the feast, the meaningful kingdom work, and worse yet, do not come in and pretend like you're one of us and just go through the motions. Our world is very different, don't you think, from Matthew's world? At least maybe we can hope that. And yet we too are invited with Matthew's community into a full commitment to Christ-like living. It is so tempting these days to cast people out, to separate people, to put a barrier between you and people not like you, especially in these days of divisiveness, to put an impenetrable barrier between yourself and people who vote differently than you, or speak differently than you, or live in different communities than you. And so we divide up into our homogenous clubs, casting anyone out who has a divergent opinion. But I do invite you to listen closely to the second invitation that is sent out. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. Not going to the mansions, because the people who were in those mansions, they did not appreciate the invitation. Those with great privilege had no interest in showing up. But to the people in the main streets, perhaps comparable to the inner city, or just plain ordinary people like you. And both good and bad, in other words, not predetermining who is worthy, but all are welcome. What a beautiful image of invitation and welcome. That is what the church is supposed to be. What's more troubling for us preacher types is the last four verses of this reading. Did you hear the last four verses that TJ read? That part about the person who does not wear the right thing. Taken too easily, of course, to mean, sure, you're welcome, but you've got to wear the right clothes, right? No jeans, right? But that's not what this is about. What is the outer darkness that he is cast into? That's not so clear. But I do want you to know what it is not. The outer darkness is not hell. God doesn't throw people into hell for not wearing the right clothes to church. No, in this parable, the outer darkness is, most simply, not at the party, not with the king, not with the king's son, not with community. Though you may just as easily say, he separated himself from the community by not fully living into the festivities, the feast, the banquet, the party. But that need not be the end. Separation does not mean reconciliation is not possible. The invitation in tonight's parable of the wedding banquet is to live fully into being the body of Christ in this world. By the way, we Lutherans have a bit of a reputation for confusing God's grace with being a low expectations church. Just show up and God will take care of the rest, right? But this invitation of Jesus is quite different. Do your best to meet the high expectations Jesus places on his disciples, knowing that you will fall short. Worship. Give generously. Work to overcome division and inequality. Heal what is broken in this world. Study scripture and pray regularly. And when you find that you have failed, when you have fallen short, that you have not been kind to your neighbor, that you have acted out of selfishness and fear rather than compassion and hope, know that you are invited back into relationship. When you feel that creeping or lingering separation between you and God or between you and others, know that the invitation will come again. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, specifically directs this bit of his letter to these two women who are in leadership in the church in Philippi, who are at odds with one another. I know in church that never happens. There are never two people at odds with one another, but apparently it happened in Philippi. And he says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Dwell on what God has done among you, and perhaps that will allow you to overcome the barrier that has come between you. May we know that welcome. May we receive that welcome and pass on that welcome, that we might be one at God's great banquet. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.